Miriam Reynolds, thank you so much for that wonderful number. And we do welcome all of you this evening. It's wonderful to be here together and to be open to what the Lord has for us, hungry for Him. And if we call on Him, if we draw near to Him, God's Word says He will draw near to us. Amen. In fact, there's a great transaction told to us in James chapter 4. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. We like when God comes close and the devil runs away. Amen. That's what happens when the disposition of our heart is to resist Him, but to draw near. Does it resist the devil, but to draw near to Christ? And we're here for that tonight. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 20. As you do, let me just remind you, this is the beginning of our week of prayer. And tomorrow and throughout, you have the prayer guide. We have scriptures to meditate on sequentially through the book of Acts. Tomorrow morning scriptures will actually come to Acts chapter 2 tonight as we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we're just going to be meditating on those as a follow-through to tonight. Tomorrow, praying, God, fill us, fill our family, fill our children, fill our parents, fill our church family, fill churches with your Spirit in our city, in our nation. We need the presence and power of God. And that's where we start. And then most of the rest of the verses, I believe, if I remember from Tuesday on, I prayerfully selected just as I waited on the Lord. And they mainly have to do with signs and wonders and especially miracles of healing. We're going to be believing God this week for breakthroughs in people's lives who really need a supernatural touch from God. And then next Sunday night, next Sunday morning's Father's Day, invite your friends and family. It'll be a great day. I'll be speaking to and about dads next Sunday morning. But next Sunday night will be a great healing service. I'll speak just for a few minutes on the subject of healing out of God's Word. And then we are going to be here to pray for every one of you who would like prayer for healing or some other miraculous intervention in your life. So that's coming up next Sunday night. Will you stand with me as we take John chapter 20? I'm going to begin with verse 19. This is the night of resurrection day. In the morning, they found the tomb empty, Jesus' followers. And this is the evening. They're locked in, huddled in, afraid of what's going to happen to them now. And Jesus appears in their midst. So that's why it starts with these words in verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came. Hallelujah. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Those hands and feet that a couple days earlier they'd seen pierced with nails on a tree. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Verse 21, again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Would you say those four words with me? Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. My God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the love of the Lord and the life of the Lord, the life of your Spirit, that you would come to us and say, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Thank you for it. Father, we just want to pray tonight, too, for Billy Davis. We just got word that just a few minutes before the service, George went to be with you, her husband. And we just pray, Lord, for comfort and grace for Billy. And just bless Pastor Hubert, who's just with her right now. And we just pray that, Lord, you will comfort her, that she will experience the breath of your strength and of your grace at this terrible time of loss in her life. And we just pray that you will touch her and come around her and her daughter Gloria and husband and other friends and family members. We pray that you will touch them in Jesus' name. And we thank you that you are always with us. That's the marvel of your presence and your Spirit, always with us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We did find word just before service started that George Davis passed away, so thank you for praying with me for them. And we have no details about arrangements this week, but if you call the church office over the next day or two, we should have information for you. Couldn't help but remember a story I read many years ago, and it really impacted me. I've never forgotten it. It's a story of invitation, basically, and it's based on the largest river in the world. As I read this story, I learned some facts that I hadn't realized. The largest river of the world, is it the Yangtze River in China? Is it the Nile River in Egypt? Is it the Mississippi River here in America? And the answer all above is no. The largest river in the world is the Amazon River in South America. In fact, the volume flow of water in the Amazon River is equal to the combined flow of the Yangtze, the Nile, and the Mississippi all put together. And it flows out, of course, out on the east side of South America into the Atlantic Ocean. The Atlantic Ocean, of course, is salt water, but the Amazon is fresh water. And its volume flow is so incredible that they say you can see the evidence of that freshwater flow up to 200 miles off the coast of South America. And it happened in ancient navigation, where they depend totally on wind power, that ships would come into that area off that part of the coast of South America, and sometimes the winds would be very listless. You could come into days and days where it just would be absolutely dead in terms of wind. And if you weren't familiar as a navigator with that area, as many ships passing through, they would find themselves just sort of dead in their tracks, just floating listlessly. There was no wind. And soon they would begin to run out of water on those ships. But other ships that knew how to navigate properly those listless winds and were familiar with the area, as they would come by, men from these more foreign ships just passing through, stalled, they would cry out, "Do you have any water for us?" And the people from these local ships would cry back, "Why, you are in the mouth of the mighty Amazon, so just drop down your buckets. Just drop down your buckets, because you're in the mouth of the mighty Amazon." I feel like that's what God is saying to us as we come to this moment of hearing Jesus say, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He's like saying, "You are in the mouth of the outflow of the very life of God. So sink in your buckets deep tonight and drink of new life." I believe the Lord would say to all of us, just drop your bucket afresh. Maybe you've already experienced in the past everything we're going to talk about tonight, but the Lord just wants to renew it. He wants you to drop in your bucket afresh. Maybe you've never stepped into some of these areas we're going to be talking about tonight, but the Lord would say, you are in the mouth of the flow of the mighty Spirit of God. Jesus himself has said, receive the Spirit of God. So let down your buckets and receive as much as you contain. You ready for that? You up for that? You up for new things being rekindled in our life in a fresh way of the Spirit and grace of God? So it's Resurrection Day, it's the evening, and Jesus is there. And he just appears. He walks through the wall. He just appears inside that room in his resurrection form. And they are staggered to see Jesus. He shows them the scars on his hands and his feet and says peace to them twice, because they were pretty distraught. It had been a pretty perplexing, life-altering day for them. A pretty bad weekend for them, as a matter of fact. And he says peace to them. And then he does the most amazing thing. I don't know how he did it, whether you could have heard the whoosh, whether he cusped his lips and just blew on them like, but it says he breathed on them. What a moment that must have been. He stopped talking and he just went, and then said, be filled. He just said, receive the Holy Spirit. What an incredible moment. And even that act tells us something about the Holy Spirit. Here's Jesus in his resurrection form. About 39 days later, he's going to ascend to the Father. But the Holy Spirit is God's resident resurrection presence right now. This is resurrection breath, if you hadn't noticed. This is Jesus. He still had the scars, but he wasn't dead. He was in resurrected life. And Paul would later say in Romans 8, if the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body. He will animate by his breath and presence your very life, your body, your actions, your way. The Spirit of God, in breathing on them and saying, receive the Holy Spirit, we learn volumes about why the Spirit is here. He is God's resident presence to bring the life of the resurrected Christ and to breathe it right into you. Some of us have been around for a while. We take this for granted. But as I was meditating on this and studying it, I thought, what an amazing thing that the God of heaven, who not only created the heavens and the earth, but in this hour defeated death itself through resurrection glory, that he would then, first order of business, before that resurrection day even passed, he would express his will for all of us. And he would actually do this, the God of heaven and the God of resurrection who defeated death. He would say to us, receive resurrection spirit. That he would say to us, receive it. And scholars are divided about what happened in that moment. It wasn't like the day of Pentecost 49 days later, where Jesus had ascended into heaven, and then he told them to wait in Jerusalem another 10 days. And on the day of Pentecost, the harvest Jewish feast, they were praying in the upper room, and they heard a wind. They heard the breath of God. But this time it sounded not like, but they say it was a rushing, mighty wind. A went through that house, and the mighty breath of God breathed on them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. That didn't happen later. Some scholars say that what Jesus did as he breathed over them on resurrection night was sort of a prophetic prelude or a promise that I will, with mighty wind, blow into your life with life-altering power. And yet that may have not happened for 49 more days to the day of Pentecost. However, I personally believe, right or wrong, I personally believe that something did happen in their lives. It was like this may have been their born-again moment, where resurrection life. They were no longer spiritually dead, but they were born again. The Spirit of God. This is the first work of the Holy Spirit. He comes in and makes us alive. Before we meet Christ, before our sins are forgiven, we're dead. But the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, makes us feel troubled that we're not right with God. And the Holy Spirit opens our eyes with the eyes of faith to who Jesus is and what he did on the cross that we sang about tonight. And then when the Holy Spirit comes and does this in our life and we receive him, he comes into our lives, and Jesus said it was like being born all over again inside. We go from spiritual death to spiritual life. That sounds like resurrection to me. And I think that happened in this moment. You can argue with me, and we're all friends and we love each other. But I think something happened of a kind of salvation, a new birth. Something began to kindle in their hearts. But if you'll go over to the book of Luke with me, Luke, the last chapter of Luke, which is the book before John, Luke 24, Luke 24 and verse 45. Luke adds quite a bit of detail to this meeting with the disciples on the evening of Resurrection Day. And he doesn't mention that Jesus breathed on them, but he does add some very interesting detail. Verse 45. Then Jesus opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And here's the important verse. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Stay in the city until you have been, and I always love that imagery, that you have been clothed with power from on high. Sometimes when I put my jacket on to come to church Sunday morning, my sports jacket or my suit jacket, I've just put it on, and of course I'm clothing myself with that jacket. But I say, oh God, I want to be clothed with something much more important. I know people might criticize me if I don't wear the right clothes physically, but big deal. I want to be clothed with power from on high. Listen, he wants to wrap you, clothe you, outfit you with power from on high. And he's saying, wait till it happens. So he was talking about more than just the Spirit of God bringing new birth. He was talking about the capacity of the Holy Spirit to clothe you with power, not your own. He said, wait in Jerusalem until you've been clothed with power that does not come from an earthly source. This is not introspective navel gazing. This is not meditating until you actualize your inner self. This is power not from inside. This is power from on high. This is not human power. This is divine power. This is not the power of just our spirit or our intellect apart from God. This is the power of heaven itself. And he said, don't you dare even try to preach the message of the gospel as great as this is. And he just described it. He said, you're going to preach Jesus died, was buried, he rose again, and if you repent, your sins will be forgiven and you'll have eternal life. That's the message I want you to take. But don't even try to share that message until you have been clothed with something that's not of you, clothed with power from on high. And I want to tell you, several things happened. And that's what baptism means. It means to immerse or to wrap about or to cover over. It's all baptism spirit language. It's not salvation language here. He's talking about something beyond just being born again. He's talking about being clothed or immersed in the power of his spirit. Like the oil of anointing that came upon the prophets and the priests and the kings of the Old Testament. It flowed over them. It came upon them. It covered them. This is a covering, a clothing, an immersing in the power of the Holy Spirit that will indeed give you power from on high. What does that power from on high look like? It'll start by a zeal and a passion for God in your heart. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have a fire for God that's greater than any affection for this world. And I want to tell you, the world's constantly pulling for your affections, constantly pulling for you to have a heart for everything but God. And I want to tell you, it's hard not to have a heart for the world unless you've got something bigger and greater and hotter from on high in your life. And that's the Spirit of God. You know, a little pigskin football. You know, when 10 250-pound football players land on a little pigskin, you'd think it'd flatten that. Why doesn't it flatten the pigskin? Why do they get up and that football is just is football-shaped as before 10 250 guys landed on it? It's because the pressure inside is greater than the pressure outside, even with 10 guys on it. I want to tell you, God can put more inside than you will ever have pulling at you outside. He can give you a heart so you don't want to follow the world. You don't want to do anything but love Jesus. If your love for Jesus has waned, if it's just all ho-hum, I don't care if you once were that way, if you've lost it, I want to tell you that's why Jesus says receive the Holy Spirit. Because it's only his fire that can give you a fire and a zeal for God. And as he comes into your life, he'll give you, his spirit will give you a new understanding in the Word of God. I've heard so many people say that, you know, the day after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I read God's Word and suddenly it was just alive to me. Because the Spirit of God always works with his Word. And he's going to make his Word alive to you. And then he's going to give you boldness and courage in your life. He's going to give you something you never had before. He's going to give you guts spiritually. He's going to give you a heart to want to serve God and a courage to set yourself out. Before you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you never want to volunteer for a ministry because what if I fail and what if somebody doesn't like me and what if it doesn't work? But when God has clothed you with power from on high, you can't stop. You want to serve. You want to give. And God gives you the guts you need to step out and do it. And he'll give you the boldness and the courage to talk about Jesus with people at work who don't know Christ. He'll give you strength in your heart. He will give you boldness in the Holy Spirit so that no matter what it costs you, so what they make fun of you, you've got more courage inside than fear. And you don't crumple like you used to. You just have this heart to serve him. You've got this courage, this boldness. He can transform you. My wife Sandy and I are friends with a couple in California. We met them when we went to pastor this church. And I remember the first couple of years that I knew them, neither of them were baptized in the Holy Spirit, but they were trying hard. And the wife had a lot of physical problems and impediments. And I just remember my impression was they were sort of focused on themselves. And they had every excuse in the book not to volunteer, not to serve. And yet they were nice. And they seemed to, I remember they even invited us over as new pastors to their home for dinner, but they were hungry for God. They knew that they had not yet been filled with the Holy Spirit. And so a couple, 3 years into being there, we had a Holy Spirit conference at the church, and this couple came. And they were both baptized in the Holy Spirit on a Saturday night at the church at the Holy Spirit conference. And I remember to this very day, Doug and Cher, their lives transformed. I remember they even to this very day are some of the most ardent servants of the Lord in that church to this day. And they've got more excuses not to serve God, health-wise and otherwise, than any of us. But they just started putting themselves out there. And they just have this zeal and passion to give it away. And they're not overcome with their excuses and their self-consciousness. Because when God, see, Jesus knew we'd need this. Jesus knew there's too many excuses and too many fears and too many reasons to rationalize why God wouldn't use us. And so he has to say, receive the Holy Spirit. And hey, take a break. Don't try to do anything for me until you've received power from on high. Hallelujah. He does that. And you know, when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, then the gifts of the Spirit begin being stirred up in your life. There's an amazing release of the gifts. I'll tell you, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, you ought to be always looking for opportunities to pray for people. Who knows what God could do through you? Oh, but Pastor, I'm not a pastor, and I haven't been to Bible school, and I'm not that important a person, and all of that. You know what? Being filled with the Holy Spirit makes all that irrelevant. The fact of the matter is, who knows what God might do through you when the power from on high is in you. He wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit, not for you. He wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit because there are so many people he loves and wants to reach. When he baptizes you in the Holy Spirit tonight, God is going to have in his mind a whole line of people in your future. They're going to be touched by his power through your life. You know, he's not just filling you for you. He's not just filling you because you're some kind of impressive Christian and you think you're God's special agent, you know? No, he's going to fill you with the Spirit because he loves other people so much that he might even use you, and he might even use me. He's going to fill us with the Spirit because he wants to release his gifts, his ministry gifts. He might use you to pray for somebody and they'd be healed. He might give you a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge for somebody. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, when you're walking in the Spirit, I'll tell you, it's very different than just going through the Christian life sort of on neutral. When you're walking in the Spirit and your heart is open to him and you say, God, speak to me, and you're worshiping him and you pray in the Spirit and you're saying you're hungry for God's gifts to work through your life. You know, God's not a slot machine. You know, you can't make him do what you want when you want. But all I know is that when you're walking in the Spirit and your eyes are on him and not yourself, and you know how much in your heart, you know how much he wants to reach people, there is no limit to what he can do by the power of his Spirit through you. You know, and you got to put the pressure on God. When you're filled with the Spirit, you don't have to put the pressure on yourself. I used to hold back praying for people. I used to be afraid of prayer services where, you know, because I'd feel like all the pressure's on me, and if I pray for somebody and nothing happens, what am I going to do? It's like I've got to apologize for God or something. Or, you know, and I didn't want to take the risk. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the pressure's on God. It's not you. You can't heal anybody. But you're just making way. And if he doesn't do anything, fine. Pray for the next person. That's his problem, not yours. The only thing I know about you is you're clothed with power from on high. And that means more than just sitting around. Nothing ever happens through your life. I mean, he didn't fill us with the Spirit to give us a boring, you know, dooming us to three times in church every week till the rest of our life. He gave you the power of the Spirit because he loves people and he wants to reach him. And he wants to take mighty tools of ministry, like the gifts of healing and the word of prophecy and the word of knowledge and wisdom and the gift of faith and the working of miracles. And when he fills you with his Spirit, those gifts begin to change people all around you. That's why he wants to clothe you with power from on high. Amen? Amen. And when you do pray, and when you do serve him, you're not cocky, you're humble, but you've got an edge of authority to you that only the Spirit of God can give. This is what the Spirit of God has come to bring. So as I close, for a closing reading, will you turn with me to Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2. And this is when it happened. 49 days later, from the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw there was that wind, there was the breath of God, mighty and powerful. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. To borrow an old cliche, here's where God changes the paradigm. The anointing oil, the power of the Spirit, would only come upon a very select few in the Old Testament. Only if you were called to be a prophet or a priest or a king. But now all of God's ordinary people have a tongue of fire above their head. Because God said, I'm putting fire in your heart, and you're my servant. And I'm going to use you. And then to remind them that now it's not just prophets and priests and kings that become God's mouthpiece in our world, but every one of us can be God's mouthpiece. It says, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Because when you speak in other tongues as the full expression of what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, not only are you yielding what the Bible calls the most lawless, unruly, difficult to tame member of your body, your tongue. But what you are doing is you are reminding yourself, the Spirit praying through you in other tongues. You're reminding yourself that that gift of supernatural language is a sign that now God wants to use my mouth and to make me his mouthpiece in the world. So that when you go with English and share Jesus, when you go up to somebody after church and say, I feel like God just give me a word for you and let me just pray for you, and you use this mouth and articulate prayer, that it's anointed by the Spirit of God, that God hears what comes out of your mouth, and that God uses what comes out of your mouth to reach people who don't know Christ. You become God's spokesman. This is an unbelievable paradigm shift for the average devout Jew who would think it blasphemous to presume themselves to be the mouthpiece of God. But of course, Peter, who preaches right after this, he will later write in 1 Peter 4, if anyone speaks, let him speak as if he was the oracle of God himself. Isn't that amazing? Because that's what he wants to fill you with the Spirit for. He wants to do this. And so the mighty rushing wind came, and tongues of fire came as he anointed every person, all 120 in that upper room. And they all spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, as God made every one of us his mouthpiece in the world. I want to say, as you open to this is not something you can psych up. This is nothing you can engineer. First of all, you need to confess all known sin in your life. God doesn't play games with us here. You can't be out there deliberately living in immorality and want God to fill you with his fire, because his fire is going to do war against the lusts of the world in your life. And so he doesn't require you to have a perfect track record. He just requires you to repent of your imperfect track record and to come under the cleansing of his blood. Don't come up for prayer tonight unless you're willing to repent of all known sin in your life and say, Lord, I want you, and I want you to forgive everything that's wrong in my life. And then we're going to pray. I'm going to have you come, and I'm going to invite people to come around you, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And the prayer will simply be, Lord, will you fill us with the Holy Spirit? You know, Jesus said, if you, being evil, you fathers, you're natural, you're inclined to evil, if even in your fallen condition, you still want to give good things to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father not give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So we're going to ask. And you receive the Holy Spirit by faith. You receive the Holy Spirit. It's not by church attendance. It's not by anything else. You just receive the Holy Spirit by faith. And we're just going to receive it by faith. And by faith sometimes means not looking at how I feel or what's happening to me. But Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit by faith, you're saying, Jesus, I just want to draw closer and closer to you, and I just need more and more of you. And we're going to pray that together. And after we prayed that together, then I'm going to ask you in faith to begin to lift praise and thank him for the answer and just receive the Holy Spirit. See, faith is believing and receiving. And one of the great ways we receive is we just say, yes, thank you, Lord. I just now receive the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for filling me. And I encourage you just to open your mouth, may be a little shy. This was awkward for me when I was a shy 14-year-old, when I was filled with the Spirit. But just open your mouth and just say, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for that. And then let the just receive the power of the Spirit. And we just believe, I can't make it happen. No one around you can, except people will be there praying to be conduits of faith and of his power, to help pray you through, to be filled with the Spirit. But I just want you to just turn your eyes on Jesus and just get close to him and say, thank you, Lord. And I love you and I praise you. And just begin to thank him out loud with your mouth. And then as you sense there's syllables and words that are not a language you understand, it's very humbling. But God's grace comes in the place where we're most humble. Just allow the Spirit of God to begin to pray through you. And just speak forth that other language. And you know what? I used to wait. You know, I think I could have spoken in tongues well before I did. Because when I was a little kid, I was so afraid that I'd fake something. And I was so afraid that I'd do something to offend God. And I also somehow came up with the idea that I go into a trance or something, and God moves my tongue for me. And God moves my lips for me. I like it when Peter walked in the water. Remember, Jesus said, come. And Peter got out of the boat into the water. Peter had to yield and obey, and Jesus did the miracle under his feet. He still had to walk. You still have to speak, but the Holy Spirit, you just yield to what you sense the Holy Spirit prompting you to do. We're not talking about faking it. We're just talking as you sense the presence of Jesus just filling you. And you, I remember for me, it was like just hearing these syllables in my mind, in my heart, and it just feeling this urge to speak them out. You just obey the Lord. You're not going to be foolish in front of anybody here. You just obey the Lord and just let that flow come. Hallelujah. Will you stand with me? Thank you, Lord. We thank you for that moment, Lord, when you say over our lives, receive the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord. We pray that tonight, Lord, if we need to be filled or refilled with the Holy Spirit, we pray that tonight you'll baptize us in the promise of the Father, the gift of your Son, Jesus, the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. We pray that we'll receive the power of the Holy Spirit tonight. We love you and we thank you and we bless you and we give you praise. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to be a little bit open-ended in the way we close. If we invite as many of you can stay to worship, to pray, to make this a place of faith. In fact, if some of you want to even come and just kneel at the steps here or pews on the side that are empty, you're welcome to come and just wait on God yourself or sit where you are and worship. But I'd like to invite, first of all, we're going to sing a song, and in this first singing of this song once through, I'd like just to invite you, if you'd like to be prayed for, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, or maybe you've just been very hungry for God. You sense you need to be refilled with the Spirit of God, and you just come. And you're feeling that in an earnest way tonight, not a casual way, but an earnest way. And I'd like you to come if you want to be filled with the Spirit of God. I'm just going to ask you to come and just stand in a line across the front here, and then I'm going to invite other people to come in around you to pray for you in a minute. But first of all, if you'd like to be filled with the Spirit, you just come, stand here, and let's sing together. Amen. Hallelujah.